Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. I'm actually going to begin to preach a message here. I need to go into two Sundays. And my message is 2020 vision. I believe this is our message from the Lord to this church to begin this new year 2020, very specifically for you and for me, to set our hearts, to set our minds for what we're heading into throughout an entire year. And this message is to help you, but I'm going to split it in two, this week and next Sunday morning again. My message, 2020 vision, reading from Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Let me read the context of it. But our text is going to be verse 18. But let me read from verse 15 to verse 20 here this morning. And you'll see the context of where I'm going if you take note of this. Verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mothers, do you want to be brought to shame? Then you better take heed to the word of God. Verse 16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. Notice this text here this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Let's pray here this morning together. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for bringing us into this new year. Your blessing, your mercy, your goodness, your forgiveness, your kindness in the year past. But, oh God, as we enter into a new year, on the very first Sunday of 2020, I ask of you that you will speak unto us in a very real and a very genuine way. We do need your Holy Spirit, and we do need a spiritual vision here this morning. Open our eyes that we might see in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My message is 2020 vision. As we enter into the year 2020, I'm amazed that I reached 2020. I never thought I would get to the year 2020. It seems like just yesterday that it was only turning to the year 2000. Some of yous weren't around in the year 2000. But as it turned over, I hardly thought we had reached 2020 in the way this world was going. And yet here we are, and I've got a message for you that I believe from the Lord. 2020 vision. If you know anything about eyesight and glasses and going to those people who supply you with glasses, you will know this term 2020 vision. What they actually do is set up a test for you, and this is worldwide, and it's to find out, do you have 2020 vision? Do you know what you do? You stand 20 feet or 6 meters from the wall. And the doctor has a chart up there with lines on it. And as it gets lower, the letters get smaller. As it gets higher, the letters get bigger. And the very top row, the letters are big, I assure you. And the very bottom row, the letters are very tiny. So you stand 20 feet away and you look at it and he says, test this eye and then test this eye. And depending if you can do that middle line, he'll say you've got 20/20 vision. You can read that middle line. In other words, you've got healthy sight. You've got good sight. It doesn't mean you've got perfect sight. It doesn't mean that your sight can't get better. Your sight can actually get better. You can have 20/10 vision. In other words, what someone sees at 10 feet, who's got 20/20 vision, you can see at 20 feet. In other words, your sight is better, more perfect. But you know what? All you need is 20/20 vision to actually say that you have good, proper, normal sight, and the doctor's not going to worry about you. They're not going to send you for glasses if you have 20/20 vision. What is 20/20 vision? It is normal, accurate sight. It is clear sight. It is the ability to see what is there in a normal way. You're not super duper. You're not amazing in your vision. You're just normal in your vision. But as soon as you drop below that, and you have to start reading higher and higher and higher, and they go, uh-oh, we better go up a line for you. You better realize your vision has begun to diminish. This is the way they test your eyes. And as soon as your vision diminishes, it means we need to get you glasses or we need to get you contact lenses. In other words, we need to bring lenses in to adjust your sight so that you see normally. Because at this present time, the test has revealed that you don't see properly. You don't see accurately. You don't see correctly. You don't see in a way that can protect you and guard your life. Do you know that in July this year, in a few months, in Dublin City, in July 2020, there is a convention. I'm not going to it, and I don't suggest you do, but listen to what it is. It is the International Society for Low Vision Research and Rehabilitation. In other words, people in science, doctors, medication, glass salesmen, I guess, are all going to go to that convention. You know why? They're concerned about the condition of people's eyesight in Ireland and in their own nations. So they're going to gather from many different countries and they're all going to fly into Dublin and they're going to have all this convention. Why? We're concerned about the value of eyesight. We're actually disturbed that people don't have 20/20 vision. We're actually concerned about recovering eyesight or how to fix eyesight or how to help eyesight that isn't accurate. That is in the world. That is secular people dealing with your natural eye. But since we're dealing here in January 2020 in Limerick City in this church with something far more important than your physical eyes. Yesterday, Hannah had an accident. Someone else managed to drop a bit of chemical in one of her eyes. And now, here this morning, she's got one eye covered. She's got to have that eye heal. That eye has been damaged. She can't use it any longer. This isn't just bad eyesight. This is an injury to her eye. She has lost 50% of her sight through the carelessness of another individual who done something that has damaged her eye. Now we need to recover it, both physically and spiritually. That's what we're looking for. Can I make a confession on the first day of this year? You see, I'm an honest preacher. I hope you think I'm an honest man and an honest preacher. But I want to confess something here this morning. Maybe some of you know. I want to make an honest public confession about something. Now some of you are saying, what sin is he going to bring up? No sin. But I want to bring up a confession of what I have been doing in the past year that I shouldn't have been doing, and it might change in the year 2020. I have been, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous in here, I have been in self-denial through 2019. I don't mean I'm denying the flesh. I've been in denial. You say, what have you been denying? I've been denying that throughout the past year, my eyes have slowly been changing. They are not what they were a year ago or 5 years ago, I can guarantee you. You see, my Bible print has kept enlarging throughout this year. I've had to go to bigger and bigger and bigger print since last January. I'm just openly confessing it here this morning. I have been in self-denial, saying it's okay, they'll come back in, I won't need to get a bigger Bible, I'll never have to get glasses, I'm fine. But you know what, saints, at a certain point, when you're sitting on that seat just before you get up to preach, and you've been there praying, and then you look down at the page of your Bible with the big print, and I can't see the words, and I can't read it, and I go, how am I going to read my notes for preaching? You know that you've been in self-denial. Do you know what? 2020 vision is a very precious gift. To have an eyesight, sharpness of sight, clarity of sight, accuracy of sight that doesn't hinder you. Here this morning, I want to actually deal here with only one verse. Four little simple statements in one verse. And in this one verse, I believe it sets us for the year ahead. 2020 vision. Do you have 2020 vision? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, or is your eyesight defective? If you don't see, some of you sit in this room, you're blind. No, I'm not blind, I can see. You are blind. I can name the things you're blind to. You're not even aware of God. You can't even see God. You don't even see the reality of your sins. You are terribly blind. Then there's other of you who are believers and your sight has been diminishing. I mean, you're like me, you're in self-denial. No, I can read. No, I'm fine. I'll get a bigger print Bible. Oh, God doesn't mind the sin. I'm forgiven. I'm okay. And you're going in a circle. You're caught in a rut. And you're saying, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'll be okay. You need a miracle in your eyes. You need your eyes to be restored and recovered. There is something wrong with your vision. You don't see Jesus like you used to. You don't think of holiness like you used to. You don't think about the church like you used to. You don't even listen to these sermons in this church like you once did in the past. It moved you to tears. Now you could care less. No effect, no influence. There is something wrong. And I want to help you in this message. Look at this verse again. This one simple verse. And did you notice what it's surrounded by? Very strange, isn't it? The verses before it and after it. About correcting your children. Correction. Trying to speak to a fool who actually doesn't listen to you. And in the middle of all that, you get this one verse. Verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let me first of all look at this word, where there is no vision. Let me explain what vision is in this scripture and what the word actually means here this morning. The word vision here doesn't mean what most people think it means. So let me get rid of some of the rubble, some of the wrong interpretations, some of the false teachings, and then I'll teach you what the word vision here actually means. You see, vision, we know that there's visions all through the Bible, and I believe in visions. I believe God gives visions. I have had visions from God. I've actually had them. And a vision is similar to a dream, but different than a dream. It is a picture, a message from God in a vision when you're awake. You actually see this. It's not natural, not with your physical eyes, not something you hear with your natural eyes. You see something that actually, it's not your imagination. You see something and it's from God. It's not with your physical eyes. And yet you see it as clear as day. I do believe in visions, church. We ought to have visions. We know that Joel in the Old Testament and Peter in the New Testament, listen to what they actually prophesied. This is God speaking. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. And what's going to happen? Your young men shall see visions. In other words, when the Holy Spirit moves, and there's things happen to the young handmaidens and the old men, thank God, but certain things happen to young men. They see visions. Their eyes are open, but they see something from God. I do believe in visions. I really do. But the church of this generation is filled with visions. I hear of more visions than I do real sound preaching. I mean, it's all through the church. I had a vision. The Lord showed me this. Guess what I dreamed last night? The church is filled with it. By people who do not read the Bible. They don't love the Bible. They don't memorize the Bible. And yet they're trying to tell me they get visions from God. They could care less about this holy inspired book. And yet they say, God showed me something. Listen to what Jeremiah said. They prophesy unto you a false vision. In Jeremiah's day, he was the only prophet speaking the truth. He preached holiness. And there were hundreds of prophets in the city, hundreds of prophets in the nation. But you know what he's saying? They're all saying blessing. I'm saying you're going into judgment for 70 years. Babylon is going to carry you away. There's no hope for you. You're going to be a prisoner to Nebuchadnezzar 70 years. All the other prophets were saying, oh, bless you, bless you. God's going to give victory. God's going to bless you in your sin. Oh, God doesn't look at your sin. Who are you going to listen to? You know what Jeremiah said? They are prophesying a false vision. He also says in his book, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. Why? Why not listen to them? They speak a vision of their own heart. Another word, God is warning here. Don't listen to their prophecies. You know why? It's a vision made out of their own heart. It's not a vision that comes from God by the Holy Spirit. They're actually prophesying, given dreams, given visions, and it's a vision out of their own heart. They imagined it. It's actually out of them. They saw a picture. They saw a vision, but it would come out of their own internal heart. It's not God. And what's God saying here? He says, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Be very careful what you listen to. You see, some people think every time they read vision in the Bible, it means a vision like that. But it doesn't mean that here. I believe in visions. I do. You know I do. But this verse is not talking about a supernatural vision by the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about that. It's got nothing to do with this verse. You see, all through the church, I used to be sick of hearing the word vision in the church. I hardly wanted to use it. It got so worn out, so abused, so stretched, so twisted out of shape. I went, don't talk about vision in my hearing anymore. And yet it's a biblical word. That's what can happen to the word vision. Don't tell me another vision. But all across our world this morning, on this first Sunday, you've got churches presenting the church vision, a 20-year plan. They stand up and they'll use this scripture and they'll say, we have a vision for this church. This is what our vision is. It doesn't mean that. That's got nothing to do with this scripture. I'm telling you, I'm clearing out a bit of rubble here so you understand this. There's others who say, I have a vision, meaning a personal agenda. I'm going to do this and I don't care what you bunch do. I don't care what you, the church, say. I'm going to do this. I believe God showed me this. This is my vision for my ministry and my life and my family, and I could care less about you bunch. It's not talking about that, I can assure you, definitely. It's not talking about the ability to formulate plans and goals. I need to form a vision for my life. I need a vision for my future. It's not talking about that. You know, when I was in South Africa, we turned on the television and there was a famous American preacher, very much liked across the world, and he's quite a good man. But I went, oh no, as he began to say, I'm going to tell you what God's word for 2020 is. Well, how did he find out what 2020, what's going to happen for you and me and everybody listening to him in 2020? Do you know how? He went into the Hebrew language and he said the number 20 means this. That means in the year 2020, Danny, this is what's going to happen to you. And I went, oh no. Since millions of Christians think that's profound Bible teaching. Do you know what that is? That's mysticism. That's not a word from the Lord. I cringe when I hear that. That you can pull the number 20 out and it's the year 20. It's not in China or some other nations, I'm sure. The Arab world don't think that. Other cultures and nations may not think that. But we think that's the secret to your year. And you go, and so, do you know with all these guys, it's always a year of victory or a successful year. Or God's going to bless you. I've never heard any of them say, God's revealed unto me, it's going to be a day of wrath and judgment upon your sin. I've never once heard that. Woe unto them. There's another preacher, when I was just looking into this, there's another preacher, Smart Aleck. Do you know what he done for his morning service to see the new year in? He went and looked up all the books, Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 20. This is God's message to you in this year. That's an abuse of the Bible. That's like people who open up the Bible and say, God, I'm in trouble. Will you speak to me? You could get in real trouble that way. Real, serious trouble. God sometimes does that, and he has done it in my life. When I was in a crisis, he's very gracious. But if you start playing that game because you don't read it, you want to pull it out like a lucky charm. You're playing with something very serious. So let's get that all out of the way. Let me explain what the word vision here means. It means a sight mentally in your mind, not your emotions, not in your will, not in your spirit. It actually means in your brain, in your natural thinking process, that you receive a sight or a vision or an image of something, a mental image within your mind. That's what the word vision actually means. It's the ability to see inwardly. I know you see outwardly. But vision in the Bible is the ability to see with your inside eyes, your inward eyes, or the eyes of the mind, to receive a vision. It is something you look at, or you gaze at, or you contemplate, or you meditate upon. When you receive a vision, you can literally gaze on it, look at it, spend time with it, let it roll in your brain. It's not just a passing thought. A vision is something very clear in your mind. You see it. It is so real, and yet it's not present. It's future. It hasn't happened yet. It's yet to come, and yet this vision is so real to you. It is the ability to see beyond what is natural. The five senses. What is present? It is the ability to see afar off. You know, some of the prophets could prophesy 2,600 years ahead what's going to happen. You know why? They were men of vision. They could see afar off. They had the ability to not be bound by their own sight or their own circumstance. They could see something coming. That's why all the prophets in the Old Testament, sin is around them. The nation has turned from God. It is very dark. No one wants to hear a true prophet. They get attacked and falsely accused. And yet, you know what? All of them prophesied, revive. Revival is coming. The glory of God is coming. The nations of the world are going to become His. God is going to come down. All of them. And yet it was a dark hour. You know what that is? That's vision. That's the ability beyond your circumstance to see afar off. The word vision means it is a divine revelation from God. How do you see? With your physical eyes. How do you look at something? How do you see? I still don't understand how televisions work, or computers, or mobile phones. I don't understand how I could go on the internet, on Facebook, and I could get a link up to South Africa, and my Candace will come up there, her face, and I see her move and speak. I don't understand how that can happen. Do you know how it happens? It is light. Vision comes through light. When light shines into your eye, it's actually light that's sending a message to your brain that I can see all of you here. What a beautiful vision this morning I have before me, all you bunch. You know, it's light that is actually giving that to me. Do you know spiritually from God how we get a vision? He sends light. and not light. Where is light? What is light? Light is the word of God. Light is truth. And you know what? For real vision to come, real inward vision, you need something to shine from the outside. The false prophets always draw from the inside, or the darkness of their own hearts. When you perceive, receive, and hold in your mind a vision, you think, you imagine, you conclude, and you decide things on the basis of that vision. I mean, something comes to you, and it is so very real, it affects your entire life. That's vision. And you could have a vision from the devil for your life, and you're believing it, and you're looking at it, and it grips your mind. It's in your mind, you see it. I see myself sinning. You better be very careful. I see myself falling away from the Lord, unable to walk with Him. You better change that vision. I'm talking about a mental vision of what you see, what you believe is yet to come, is yet future, and it's going to happen to you. Notice with me in this verse what it says in this first statement. Where there is no vision. What a terrible situation here it's talking about. It's talking about those who have no vision. No vision from God. No light has come into their brain, creating a vision or an awareness of what He's going to do in your life. No vision. Can I ask you this morning, do you have a vision? I'm not saying, have you seen a vision? Some people say we all have to have visions. You ought to have a vision. No, not visions, mystical, but you do need this vision. Look what it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have this vision, you're going to perish. We as a church will perish. This isn't getting a vision in the middle of the night. It's not talking about that. Just because you have had no vision doesn't mean you're going to perish. Or you say, but I haven't operated in the gifts of the Spirit. Am I going to perish? Of course not. Of course not. But here is a vision that it says if you don't have in your life, you are going to perish. This is a vision you have to have. You must have. And we as a church, we must have it for the year ahead. We have got to have 2020 vision. If we don't, there's going to be consequences. There will be results out of this. No vision. So what am I describing here? What is this vision? Notice the full verse with me for a second. Where there is no vision. What does it say in the second part? But he that keepeth the law. Do you know what it's saying there? It's defining what a vision is. It's saying the person with the vision is the person who keepeth the law. Do you hear what I just said there? The person with the vision of this verse 18, who has a vision that will stop them perishing, is the same person. He's explaining what it is in this verse. And this is what you never hear in the church of today. They say, you've got to have a vision. You've got to have a vision. But they separate that vision from keeping the law of God. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't keep the law of God, you've got no vision. Oh, I have dreams and little prophecies and I feel things down my back. You're a flimsy pansy, that's what you are. You ladies, that doesn't affect you, but you men, you're a pansy. If you separate, have visions apart from keeping the word of God, you're good to no man. Don't give me your visions. I could care less about your visions unless it's one of hell that's scaring you out of your boots and saying, I ought to get right with God. Yes. You see, this no vision is because they haven't kept the word of God. They have no vision and they're actually going to perish. Why? Because they do not keep the law of God. Never separate vision. And that's the problem of this hour. And it's going to be the problem this morning, Sunday morning, right across the world in churches. They're going to present visions and they'll never mention about keeping the word of God or the law of God or the commandments of God or the teachings of God. They'll never mention it. I wish I could get a little peek into all their sermons this morning to see what they're saying. We have a vision. We're going to do this. Be very careful. You see, this is a vision connected to the Word of God. A real vision that is birthed out of keeping God's Word. If you tell me that you have a vision, but you don't obey the Word of God, you don't have vision. you're actually probably blind, or you've got damaged eyesight. If you say you're seeing things but you don't keep the word of God, you really do have problems here this morning. There is no one as blind as a man who strays away from the Bible. Anyone who's not reading it, believing it, keeping it, obeying it, letting it mold his life, you're blind. There's no one more blind than those who do not keep the word of God. And yet the church is filled with people who do not keep the word of God. There's blind men walking around our churches. There's blind preachers. Jesus said it. He said, the blind leading the blind. And if that happens, they'll both fall into the ditch. Don't follow preachers who are blind. They're those who diminish obedience, diminish obeying or keeping the word of God. They are very dangerous men. They're blind and yet they're trying to lead you. What we have in this generation of the church is people getting dreams, visions, little words, prophecies. But these are not birthed out of the word of God or out of obedience. In Jeremiah's day, the false prophets were filled with this ecstatic visions. But they lacked biblical obedience. It happened in Isaiah's day, Hosea's day, Nahum's day, Elijah's day. It happened all through. Lots of prophets having lots of visions, but little obedience. You know what? Their vision is a curse. It's a false vision. It's a damnable vision. Do not listen to such. In Ezekiel's day, listen to what he says. There is a day coming when every vision faileth. There's going to be a day of trouble. All your vision. You can prophesy, see all the visions you want. I've got a little vision for you. God's going to bless you. There's a day when all visions are going to fail. He goes on to say about those who say, oh, the day is at hand. All visions are going to be fulfilled. God's going to do this in my life this year. God told me. God spoke to me. I had a dream. I had a vision. And it's all good. Isaiah is actually saying, many of them are saying that, but listen to what he says. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. He's saying there's a day God's going to clear all this up. He's going to wash out all the filthy dreams and visions. He's going to cast out all those false dreamers. Remember Jude? He talks about false dreamers or filthy dreamers in Jude. Men in the church in the first century. You know what they are? They're filthy dreamers. Their dreams aren't from God. But there is a day coming when there's going to come an end to all the false visions. Saints, I want a real vision. I don't want to perish. I actually want a real vision that affects my life in a very real way. In Zechariah 13, it talks about the revival that's going to come after Ezekiel's war. It gives a full description there. Just when Russia and Turkey and Iran invade Israel, and it's going to happen soon. And a revival comes at the end of it. I mean, the Holy Spirit is outpoured in Jerusalem again. And we get a description of the revival. Listen to what Zechariah says is going to happen in that real revival. Not these false revivals. They're filled with visions, visions, visions. Listen to what he says is going to happen. It's going to get cleaned up. Zechariah 13:4, and it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, which he has prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. Do you see what I just read here? That the false prophets who are given visions all the time, they're going to become ashamed. This is a revival that's going to get outpoured, not only in Jerusalem, but it's going to go worldwide. That Israel is going to come back in. And the Gentile nations are going to have a resurrection from the dead. Not physically, but there's going to come a spiritual revival to the church in our world. I believe it, and no one's saying it in this hour or this generation. Just stick around. Mark my words, church. There is a vision I've seen from the word of God. The prophets aren't saying it, but I'm telling you, there's coming a real move of God. And when it does, holiness is going to get restored. The fear of God is going to get restored. Obedience to the written scriptures is going to get restored. There's going to be a trembling again at the word of God. Who does God look to? This man who trembles at my word. When's the last time you trembled under the word of God? When's the last time you've seen a church trembling? When's the last time you're alone with God? You know, many years ago, we had had our Sunday, a busy Sunday. Monday morning was my day off, or all of Monday was my day off. I relaxed, didn't put the alarm clock on. Every other day I went to bed after 12, got up about 5 in the morning. That was my normal routine every day. Monday, no alarm. Sleep till you wake up. I relaxed, went for a walk. Do you know that day, I come and I sat down with the word and sitting in my seat, I'll never forget it. As I read the word of God, I began to tremble in my seat in the presence of God with an awareness of him. Do you know what? He gave me a message for the Sunday. And then on the Sunday as I preached it, the same thing started to happen to people as people trembled under the word of God. Since it's very real, and yet we've lost all this. When revival comes again, certain things are going to come back in. Get rid of all the false vision. But there's going to be a real vision that's birthed out of the written scriptures that has everything to do with obedience to God. That's the first thing here. No vision. I hope you understand what vision is. I'm talking about 2020 vision. I'm not talking about having some spectacular, perfect vision. I'm just talking about an accurate, healthy, normal vision as a church, as a Christian. Can I ask you here, do you have a vision birthed out of the Word of God? Are you seeing accurately and clearly? Second of all, look at that word perish. The first statement was, where there is no vision. Then the second statement, look what it says. The people perish. Where there's no vision like this, doesn't matter how religious they are, how big they are, how rich they are, how famous they are, how great a preacher they are. If there is no vision like this, the second point, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me explain what the word perish means. You'll say, well, I know what it means. No, not in fullness, you don't. There's consequence to not having this kind of vision. A vision that's connected with you obeying the Word of God, and the Word of God illuminates you and gives you a vision in your mind. You see almost a picture. I'm not talking about a strange spiritual vision or a supernatural one from God. I'm talking about something created by the Word of God because you're walking with the Word of God. If you don't have that, you are going to perish. The word perish there means, listen to this, talks about the people. A people who don't have this kind of vision, a biblical vision, they're going to perish. Listen carefully. The word perish means to cast off all restraint. There's things holding you back, hindering you. I wonder what that is. The word of God. Commands. Submission, authority. Leadership. Church. Responsibility. Fellowship. But primarily the Word of God, the teachings of the Bible. Do you know what it says? When you don't have a vision like this, you literally perish. It's not a consequence. This is what you're doing. You are casting off all restraint. It means disintegration. It means to fall apart, go to pieces. It means to be unrestrained. I'm not under any man's authority. Have you ever heard it in the church? I've heard it thousands of times. I don't need to listen to you. I don't need to do what you're telling me to do. I don't need to do those things. I am free. Do you know what it means? You're perishing without a vision. Oh no, I get lots of visions. No, no, listen to me carefully. I'm identifying a man or a woman without a God-given vision, a biblical vision. They may have dreams and visions of the night. And yet, do you know what? They are unrestrained. Nothing holds them back. They're going to do what they're going to do, no matter what the Bible says. They are uncontrolled. It's talking about people who are confused. Their life is in disorder. They are rebels against the Word of God. And yet they're playing around with visions. You know what the Bible says? They're perishing. This is a people who are lawless. If you don't have a biblical vision, if you don't have a vision birthed out of obedience to God's word, do you know what you are? You're lawless. You are a person without the law. If you're not keeping the law of God, you're lawless. And believe me, in the Bible, to be lawless is one of the worst statements you can read. It means no one tells you what to do. Even the Bible and even God. You rely on visions, dreams, manifestations, impressions. It's all out of your own heart. It's all make-believe. You do not care about God's word. We also have a word. Anarchy in our society. You know what anarchy is? It's when a young generation rises up and says, we're going to rebel. We're all going to grow our head. We're non-conformists. We reject the older generation. And you know what? We're not going to dress anyone like anyone else. And we're going to dress our own way. And they grow their hair, or they cut it strange, or they dress in a strange way. And you get all these young guys walking about with girls' trousers, and they're so tight they can hardly walk naturally, and say, aren't I cool? I am a non-conformist. That's really what's called anarchy. Do you know what the word anarchy means? No ruler. No ruler. That's what the word actually means. No one's going to be king over me. No, I'm not going to submit to anyone. If you don't submit to someone, you're in trouble. I hope I'm the most submitted man in this church. I hope I'll excel. I want to be more submitted than my wife is, than you are, than the youngest convert. I'm submitted to everybody in this church. And yet we have people come in and say, I'm not submitting to you. I'm not listening to God's word that you give me without playing games with it, just giving you the pure word. I don't need to listen to that. That is anarchy, and it comes into the church. This word perish, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, it's used elsewhere. Do you know in Leviticus 10, verse 6, it's used about letting your hair down. This word to perish, or to cast aside restraint. Do you know what it means? Let your hair down. In Leviticus 10, it's used of letting your hair down, to let it run wild, to become ungovernable. There's some of you in this church, I think if you let your hair grow, that's why you keep it shorter. Some of you, if it began to grow, it would become ungovernable. You won't be able to comb it, wash it, do anything with it. You won't manage it. Just cut it off. Keep it nice and short like I do. That's the way around it. And then, do you know what? In that verse, it talks about those who let their hair down. Sure, just let it go. Let it all hang out. Be yourself. Don't feel restrained. I don't want to walk on a knife edge or walk on eggs. I want to be free to express myself and have a good self-identity. You know what that is? That's a rebellious generation. A people who have vision, or a people restrained by the word of God. That's literally who they are. What does it say here? But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. To perish means you're not keeping the word of the Lord. That's what it means. See, with this perishing, let me point out four situations for you. Three in the Old Testament. Do you remember Samson? You remember Samson, anointed of God, a man of strength. He slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. What an amazing man, a gifted man, raised up of God. The power of God is there. An angel announced his birth. What a man. The power of the Holy Spirit moved on him many times. But you know what? He started looking at Philistine girls. The word of God says, don't do that. Oh, I can do it, but I'll be okay. And I know I'll be okay. Oh, I love God. The Holy Spirit's moving on me. I feel he forgives me. But you know what? That girl does look good. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, but I'm the anointed of God. God's used me. I'm not like anybody else in the church. I'm utterly unique. God speaks to me. God reveals things to me. Don't do it. Do you know what he started doing? He's not going to keep the law of God. Don't marry a Canaanite. Don't marry a Philistine. Don't be joined with a sinner. You're going to play with fire and you will be burnt. Do you know what that shows me? You've got no vision of spiritual life. Oh, I can see. You're already blind. Do you realize Samson became blind before he became blind? You say, what do you mean? Well, when the Philistines got their hands on him, remember what they done? They gouged out his eyes. They took both his eyes out. He'd become physically blind, but he was already blind before that. They could never have done that. He wouldn't have lay his head in the lap of Delilah. He would not have done that. He's already blind. But they come after your eyes. Do you know what happened to Samson? He threw off the restraint of God's word. He said, I've got dreams, miracles, visions, impressions of God. God has always been here with me. And you know what? When they tied him up with chains, having cut his hair off, he got up and he says, I'll just shake myself like every other time and these will break and I'll go on my way. Not this time, son. Not this time, son. This is your worst nightmare. Now you're going to find out sin has a consequence. The devil has got you. You played with the devil. The devil's burnt you bad. And now you're going to cry over it. But the devil has taken your eyes out. Why did this happen? Samson lost his spiritual vision. And this was the tragic consequence. Secondly, what about Eli? That old man of God in the Old Testament. Eli the priest lost his vision. He died when he was an old fat man. The Bible says that. Do you know what the Bible's explained some to you? He got very fat. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He's not a sinner. But he won't put his sons out of ministry. He rebuked them. He said, you shouldn't do this. But he left them in ministry. And God says, see, because you've done that, I'm cutting your entire house off. You're not putting biblical judgment in the house of God. You're showing more love, grace and mercy than I do. My word says put them out of ministry. And what do? You just leave them alone there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut off your entire household. You know what Eli was doing? Why he was fat? Because they're stealing the fat from the offerings of God's people in God's house. They weren't letting it burn up as an offering. And those two wicked sons of his, they got the fat and then they come and made him a meal. All of that pig meat. And he got fat through it. Through the sin of his sons. No wonder he was flat. But he was blind. That man was blind. He was a good man, an upright man. He wasn't getting drunk. He wasn't committing sexual sin. But he did not deal with things in the church. And God says, away with you. You know what? There's a lot of preachers and a lot of churches in this hour. They're not sleeping around. They're not getting drunk. They're not out in the world. But you know what God's going to say? Away with you, because my word does not restrain you. You see, I've got to go and rebuke certain people because the Bible commands me. I've got to actually raise issues with someone who's sinned against me. I don't like doing it. I wish I didn't have to do it. I've lost good friends, preachers, because they're going in a direction. And they said, no one's going to tell me what to do. And I said, brother, I care about you. You're my friend. You're my brother. I love you. I enjoy your company. We're not going to talk about it. Then you're rejecting the word of God. That's Eli. Thirdly, Zedekiah. Notice something here for a second. Samson, Eli, Zedekiah were the last of their line. Very important men. Zedekiah was the last king of Israel. Jeremiah's prophesying, he says, judgment's coming. He rejected it. He said, no, it's not. He hated Jeremiah. He hated the preaching. He said, it's not going to happen. Your sin's going to catch up with you. I'm in a position, I have authority, I have power. You're going to lose it all. Jeremiah, listen to the preaching of Jeremiah. He didn't. And you know what? The last thing he ever seen was the Babylonians killing his children in front of him. Then they blinded his eyes. And they let him live in captivity in Babylon. But the last sight you ever see in this earth is the death of your children. I think there's some people in the church that just before you go blind in the church, you're going to watch the devil destroy your kids. You know why? Because of your rebellion against the word of God. There's a perishing, no restraint. You're uncontrolled. The word of God has no power in your life. It won't in your children. You could care less about the word of God. I will drink. I will go this way. I will do. I have no restraint. Your children will run far harder after it. The fourth and last thing, Laodicea in the New Testament. The seventh and last church, Laodicea. You remember what its problem was? You're blind. You think you see, you think you're rich. You think you have everything. He says, you're naked and you're blind and you're poor. You don't have any riches. You think you're doing great. Do you know what? Jesus couldn't even get in that church. There's some churches in this city. Do you know Jesus is standing at the door knocking? Let me in. Let me in. Here's my voice. And they shut the door. They don't want him. With Laodicea, Jesus is at the door of the church. He can't even get in through the door. And he said, is there anyone in there who wants me? Is there anyone in there who wants fellowship with me? I know you're preaching and you're worshiping and you're having prayer meetings and you're having all sorts of things go on in the church. Does anyone really want me? Saints, I'm talking about losing your spiritual eyesight. Samson did. Eli did. Zedekiah did. And so did the church at Laodicea. An entire church within 70 years of the day of Pentecost. When the apostle John is still alive. Here's an entire church calling themselves, I'm a Christian. Do you know I'm a Christian? No, you're blind. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. We're doing well. I love God. He's going to bless me in 2020. You're blind. The devil's got your eyes out. You see how it says, but he that keepeth the law. That's the third statement. He that keepeth the law. Happy is he. I'm going to stop here. I could keep going for 2 hours. I could take you all through to the next morning. Because you know what we're dealing with is 2020 vision. I want us as a church to have accurate vision, good vision, pure vision. Do you see Jesus? Do you really see him this morning? I'm not talking about with physical eyes. Neither am I talking about a vision of Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying in your heart, in your mind, have you received through the Word of God such a vision of him that you see him? Because you keep the Word of God, you guard it, you protect it, you love it, you have a vision of Christ, you literally see him. Your eyes, your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your understanding, you see him. Do you see your own spiritual condition? Are you very ignorant? I think I'm doing okay. And yet the Word of God says you're in trouble. Someone walks in the church and they're covered in spots. They didn't have them yesterday, didn't have them on Friday night or Wednesday night or last Sunday. And they're covered in spots. And you say, are you okay? Yeah, fine, great, never felt better. I'll say to Alan, you gonna tell them or am I? They may not want to hear. He looks happy. They look fine. They seem to be enjoying life. He looks like he's great on top of the world. Those spots are a sign that something is wrong with that person. There's something going on in your body, I want to tell you. And somebody's got to tell you. Do you know what, saints? Laodicea, the only answer. What did Jesus Christ say to that church? He said, buy of me eye ointment to heal your eyes. You're blind as a church. But you know what? You can come to me, Jesus Christ, and you can purchase of me eye salve that'll heal your eye. Do you know just outside the town of Laodicea was a place where they sold very special eye salve all across the Roman Empire. It actually healed your eye. It made your eyes better. It dealt with any eye problems. And you know what Jesus is saying? Laodicea, you've got it physically in your city. You can go to the shop and buy eye ointment. My eyes are sore. I'm squinting. I can't see. I'll go to the eye doctor. Jesus says, why not come to the eye doctor? See, here this morning, as we enter 2020, I know a person who can give you 2020 vision. I know a person who can fix your eyes. Restore your vision. Will you go, Lord, I see your holiness. I see your greatness. I see my own true condition. Isaiah, before he had his vision of the Lord high and lifted up, he went and preached to cities and nations and spoke a judgment. And yet when he got into the presence of God and he had a vision of the throne of God and the one sitting upon it, do you know what he said? Woe is me. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. This is a holy prophet who speaks to nations, who prophesies judgment against cities. And yet when he gets alone with God in chapter 6, you know what he said? I'm a man of unclean lips. And you know what happens when your eyes open and your eyes are healed and you begin to see properly? Everything comes into focus and you go, oh boy, God help me. I am so sorry for what I've let into my life in 2019. I am so sorry for the things I kept saying. Sure, it's okay. Sure, it's okay. Sure, it's okay. Here this morning, I'm asking, will you ask Dr. Jesus for eyesight to heal your eyes? When he touches your eyes and he can heal them instantly and restore your sight and your eyes open, say, now I can see. Once I was blind. Once I couldn't see anything, but now light has shone into my eyes and I'm seeing clearly. Please stand with me here this morning as Brother Soph comes. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Let's just seek him here at the end of this meeting. Don't rush out. Don't get distracted with anything. Just for a moment. This is so vital what we're dealing with. 2020 vision. It's your seeing God, your own spiritual condition, the way ahead, looking at everything in life. We're talking about the Lord fixing your eyes. We're talking about the Lord bringing your vision back. Here this morning, this message is like you walking into that eye doctor and me testing you saying, what about this line? Can you read all the letters? Can you see that? Are you seeing accurately? Then let's go a line higher. A line higher. A line higher. I'm sure there's very few who will go a line lower, and yet there ought to be. There ought to be those who will go down another line. Go down another line. You know why? Your vision is so clear. You can see afar off. You see things accurately. And you're allowing that to affect your life this morning. Here this morning, I'm just going to ask as we close. See this altar, just you and the Lord. I'm not going to be praying for you. You can stand where you are. Just come and stand. We as a church, this is the first Sunday of a year. And I need the Lord. Lord, will you restore our vision as a church again? Are you hungry to see clearly? Do you really want the Lord to open your eyes? Let's just come stand here together.